Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
The title for my teaching today is, Where is the Righteous Man? Where is the righteous man? In James chapter 5, you will hear Elder James say, the earnest, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Today we want to look for that righteous man. Where is the righteous man? The objective of these studies today are as follows. Number one objective, to challenge us to move from being church people to God's people. And let me say this very clearly, that being in church is not the same as being in God. Well, let me say it again. Being in church is not the same as being in God. One can be in church, but it is not in God. But if you are ever in God, you will be in church. So, I want to challenge us to move from being church people, religious people, to becoming God's people. Let God look at you and say, these ones are my people. They are not just church people. In Exodus chapter 3, once upon a time, God called the nation of Israel my people. He said to Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, and I am come down to deliver them so that they may serve me. But in Exodus chapter 32, God said to Moses, come down quickly for your people. How they move from being God's people to becoming Moses' people. He said, the same people that he called my people in Exodus chapter 3, in 32, he said, Moses, your people, come down, go and meet your people. My prayer for you is that you will not lose your status in God. Let there be no time that God will look at you and say, you belong to your pastor, not me. Because many church people are the pastor's people, not God's people. They can defend their pastor. They can talk about their pastor, but they know little about God. They can fight for their pastor. How dare you call my papa names? They can curse. They can abuse. But they seldomly fight for the God who made them. In their presence, someone will say a lot of nonsense about God and they don't raise a finger, but don't say nonsense about their pastor. When did we become men's people and not God's people? So I want to challenge us that we must move from being just church people. The God of Pastor Nephioch Odosen is nothing because of me. He is something because he's God. Quit praising men and start praising God. Stop saying, because I am a son of Pastor Nephioch Odosen, nothing will happen to me. Start saying, because I am a child of God. Can I assure you that I have no protection to offer you, but God can protect you. Hanging my picture in your neck and putting it in your car will not save you from accident. But if you have God in your heart, he will protect you. Are you hearing me? Now, I have nothing against respecting your man of God, but never allow your man of God to take the place of God. Because many men are gradually taking the place of God in the lives of God's people. So they consult a man rather than consult God. If Papa say go, they go. Even if God say don't go. That's one of the challenge. that we must move from just being church people to become God's people. My greatest joy will be to pastor God's people. Yeah. Because I didn't die for you. He died for you. If I'm asked to die for you, I will say no. But Jesus was not even requested to die. He came to die for us while we were yet sinners. That's why our loyalty must be to him. Objective number two. I intend to steer our spirit to a place of doing better than just being a nice person or a good person to becoming a God person. We have many nice men and many good men, but we have few righteous men. So I want to steer our spirit that we graduate from just being good, just being nice, just being kind, to becoming righteous. Righteous in the context of having a right stand with God. Until Jesus came in Matthew chapter 3, God never called any man his son. Read your Bible from Genesis up until Matthew chapter 3. There was never a place that God said, "This is my son." He called Abraham his friend. He could call you his friend. He could call his servant. In Numbers chapter 12, he called Moses his own prophet. But in Matthew chapter 3, he said for the first time, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And that son came so that he can pay our fare to become sons and daughters of God. So we must move from just being nice people, kind people, to becoming people that have a right standing with God. Number three objective, to remind us that God invested so much to make us look like him again, and that we can look like him. The investment of God on humanity was to have man look like him again. Genesis chapter 1, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let him have our personality. Let him exhibit our character trait." That was the original intention of God for making man. Man lost that status in Genesis chapter 3. And then God thundered, "There is no righteous man on earth. No, not one." I want us to be reminded that the investment of divinity upon humanity was that man will look like him. And we can look like God again. In power, in authority, in everything that we do. The fourth objective is to remind us that if the righteous don't arise, then the nations will come under siege of Satan continuously. If the righteous don't arise, the nations, families, communities will come under satanic siege continuously. That's why we are looking for the righteous. Where is the righteous man? If there is no righteous man in that family may come under satanic siege. You don't know the power of one righteous man in a community. If the righteous don't arise, if we don't take our place as the salt of the earth and as the light of the world, our world will croup in darkness, and we cannot fault God for it. The fifth objective is to challenge us to be determined to live in the righteousness that was bequeathed to us by Jesus Christ. No man has ability to be righteous by himself, but we became righteous because the righteousness of a man was offloaded him and then loaded on us. We must be challenged to live in that righteousness. Praise the Lord. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 9, you will see God looking for the righteous man. Genesis 3 and verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, 'Where art thou?" Where are you? Where is my man? Adam, where are you? Where is my daughter? He came to Adam's abode. He left his place of comfort and came very early in the morning. He's looking for his man. Oh, I'd like you to know that God is always looking for his men. Where are you, Adam? And I've said to you before that every time God asks the question, where art thou? It's not asking for your location in town, because God knows everywhere. God is simply saying, you have left the place of your alignment with me. You are no longer in the place where we used to meet. Where art thou? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, prophet Isaiah answered the question of Genesis chapter 3. Where art thou? And prophet Isaiah answered, he said, all we like sheep, we have gone astray. We left the place of our intimacy. All we, not one person left. Everyone, all we like sheep. Lord, I will not be a sheep that is not led. No. All we, like sheep, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When God came and looked for the man he created, he didn't find the man. God caught his son and said, you will carry the consequences of that man's misbehavior. And Isaiah said, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, our burden, our misbehaviors. Jesus carried it on our behalf. Why we all went gallivanting, we all went partying, we all went shouting, oh yeah, all we like sheep, we have gone astray. Genesis 18, 23-33. Here you will see the power of the righteous man. Why the righteous man must arise. Why you must challenge yourself to be righteous. Genesis 18, 23. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place. What a power the righteous man carries. If I find 50 within the city, if I find 50 righteous men in Port Harcourt, Satan cannot overtake Port Harcourt. No, he cannot overtake Port Harcourt. That's why when people say the church is the problem, I say they are talking from a blind spot. The day the church is removed from the earth will witness its worst chaos. Let nobody ever tell you that the church is the problem of this nation, or the church is the problem of the world. The church is actually the solution. The day the righteous is taken away, then you will know that Satan is wicked. What you call the wickedness of Satan is a tip of the iceberg. It's because the devil is afraid of the presence of the righteous. The day the righteous man leaves a family, the family collapses on the net. Because a righteous man carries weight with him. If you find 50 righteous within the city of Sodom, will you destroy that city? Listen to me. God has already concluded in the council of heaven that Sodom and Gomorrah is doomed for destruction. But yet, there is going to be an interventionist agent if there are 50 righteous men. I want to be righteous. I want to be righteous. So that who knows? My parents will stay. My brothers, my sisters will survive until they meet God. Because the absence of the righteous is the judgment of the land. Every time God comes with judgment, he looks for a righteous man. That's why he said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, because their wickedness have come up to me. Go to Nineveh, preach to them. And when Jonah went and preached to them, from the king down to the least person, even to the animal, they prostrated and repented. And only in 3 days, God changed his mind, because he found men who stood. He said, if I find 50 righteous men there, I will spare all the place For their sakes. Somebody shout hallelujah. For their sakes. For their sakes, I will spare all the place. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ash. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Would thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Somebody say amen. Abraham started at 50. He said, what if you find, if in case you go, there are only 45. And they didn't meet my statistic. He said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak, peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake, oh God. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet, but this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. 10. Lord, don't let our church be without 10 righteous men. Oh God, don't allow my family to be without 10 righteous men. Let me not live in a city where there are not up to 10 righteous men. Lord, don't let me live in that city. Don't let me stay in a church where there may be 1,000 and yet there are not up to 10 righteous men. Lord, I've said to us before, the presence of God in a congregation is a function of the aggregate holiness of the worshipers in that congregation. It has nothing to do with our finishing. It has nothing to do with the conditioners. It has everything to do with the aggregate holiness of those who worship there. If we are 10,000 here and there are no righteous men, God didn't come. Men came. He didn't come. Men came. But I pray that you will be where God is. He said, if you find 10 righteous men, will you still destroy the city? And God said, for the sake of 10 righteous men in a whole city, haya barakataya, ayeta payagada, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. Oh, Lord, give us righteous men. Give us righteous men so that our nations will live. Give us righteous men so that our church will strive. Give us righteous men so that Satan will not overpower us. Give us righteous men so that our farmyard will not be destroyed. Give us righteous men so that our effort will not be wasted. 10. If I find 10, a city is safe. If I find 10, the family is safe. And the Lord went his way. Abraham stopped at 10. As far as Abraham is concerned, there is no way there will not be up to 10 righteous men in the city of Sodom. And so he left interceding. And the Lord went his way. When God went there, he found only one. And that one was almost backsliding. Lot. He found him sitting at the tent of his door. And God said, let me look for number 2. Let me look for number 3. I wish Abraham had said, if you find one, then God would have given his commitment. If I can find one, I wouldn't destroy. But he found one and couldn't find the other 9. And God said to that one, leave. When he entered the house of that one, the men of the city came to show their wickedness. And they came and knocked and said, Lord, we heard you just took in some visitors. You know we like sleeping with visitors. Get them to us. And Lot presented 2 of his daughters, He said, these my daughters are virgin. They have never met any man. I will donate them to you. The righteous man can lose anything to have the presence of Yahweh. The righteous man. If you are still struggling with obeying God, you are yet to catch up with the righteousness of Jesus. Lot said, take my two daughters, take their virginity away. But you see, the presence of this holy man lived them. While Lot was negotiating, the angels pulled him inside the house, closed the door, and smote those men with blindness, and said to Lot, carry everything you have and leave this city, because in a short while, this city will come down crashing. May I not build what God wants to destroy? May I not pastor a church that God wants to close down? It is possible that the church you are pastoring, God has penciled it for a shutdown. May I not preach a message that God don't want anybody to hear? Lord, give us righteous men. Give us righteous men.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.